morning, brothers and sisters. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we humble ourselves before your majesty. We thank you for your loving kindness. You do not desire the death of us sinners. You want us to turn to you and love you. Your mercy towards us is everlasting. You gave us new life in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord, our Mediator, our Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world. Father, have compassion on us and forgive all our sins for Christ's sake. Cover our shame with his righteousness and with his holiness for the glory of your name. Father, will you please open your word to our hearts and minds through your Holy Spirit. We pray for the reading of Scripture and the proclamation of your word in this meeting. Fill us with your wisdom and knowledge. Prepare our hearts to receive your word in humbleness and joy. Give us the strength to walk in the ways of your gospel to the praise and glory of your name. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to read from Matthew 22, verse 15 to 22, that is our text. And then we will also read Romans 12, verse 1 to 3. Let us read first from Matthew 22, verse 15 to 22. I read from verse 15. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle him in his words. And they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are true, and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax. And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, Whose likeness and inscription is this? They said, Caesar's. Then he said to them, Therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. Then we read from Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of God, of faith that God has assigned. Beloved Mukanyo community, when answering the question how we should live a holy life before the Lord, we have to be cautious. Our approach should not be what we have to achieve, but how we should honor, confess, and promote the Lordship of our Savior Jesus Christ, according to the witness of His Holy Spirit. Our approach has to be faith in God regarding our identity as children of the Father, to give witness of His glory. Matthew 22, verse 15 to 22, focuses on the fact that the Pharisees, as well as the Herodians, render to themselves the things they ought to render to God. But even we, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, are not able to render to God of ourselves the things that are God's. However, through faith in Jesus Christ, we are able to render to God the things that are His, as new creations of our Lord Jesus Christ, who worship Him. We have to test ourselves and be cautious, so that we do not promote ourselves, but render to God what is His. We have to hold on to our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the ransom that rendered Himself to His Father. By faith in Christ and worshipping Him, we render to God what He asks from us. Matthew 22, verse 21, does not describe the relationship between the church and the authorities. It does not describe the relationship between the reign of God and the reign of the authorities. The crucial point of this teaching of Christ is that Jesus is rendering to God what is His. Actually, give Caesar his due, but what is due to God, do not give that to Caesar, but give that to God. One law applies to both the church and the authorities. We do know from Scripture the things that are Caesar's are His only because of God's reign over Caesar and the world, and God may take it again away from Caesar. God's authority is above all. Jesus did not speak here positively regarding Caesar. Caesar did not ask of his servants all the coins with the image of his head minted on it. This image on the coins was indeed proof that they were from Caesar. It was proof that where these coins were used, Caesar ruled. Caesar collected one coin per person as tax. In this conflict with the Pharisees and the Herodians, Jesus used only one coin to illustrate the problem. And this coin Jesus used to tell his opponents to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and not to Caesar the things that are God's, but to render to God the things that are God's. Now our text tells us that the disciples of both the Pharisees and the Herodians visited Jesus. Although it seems that they were admiring Jesus and recognize him as a teacher to teach them about the paying or not paying of taxes to the emperor. It was no casual, friendly visit. It was a visit of Jesus' enemies to him. We read in Matthew 22 verse 15, the Pharisees went and planned how to trap Jesus with his own words. They wanted to deliver him to the Roman authorities to execute him. Behind their actions, we see their plans. Also from Luke 20 verse 20, we learn they were out to kill Jesus. But Jesus entangled them here in this text in their own words, and they had to leave amazed and marveled. The Pharisees, as well as the Herodians, wanted to kill him. They were sent to him on purpose. In Mark 3 verse 6, we read that factions of these two groups had tried to kill him. The Herodians did not challenge the Romans in any way, with the hope that they would receive some privileges from Caesar. They believed that if there was no tension in Judea, there would be a chance to be reappointed by Caesar as vassal. If they could catch Jesus on anti-imperial views, they could hand him over to the Romans. With their flattery and skillful questioning, they tried to put Jesus at ease. They acknowledged Jesus as teacher. They acknowledged that he was sincere and that he taught the way of God in a truthful way, and that he did not care about anyone's opinion, and that he was not swayed by appearances. But they forgot that he would also not be swayed by hypocrites like them. The question to Jesus comes down to whether it was lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not. They expected a clear yes or a clear no to their question. There were always opposing views between the Pharisees and the Herodians, but they were united in their approach to Jesus. Jesus, the son of David, had visited the temple and suspended the commercial operations of the temple. In their eyes, Jesus had raised himself above Caesar and above the prophet John and thought of himself as a king that was sent by God. They wanted Jesus to declare also in words that he was the king that was sent by God. Not to honor him as king, but to deliver him to Caesar as a revolutionary. Therefore, Jesus questioned them, "Why put you me to the test, you hypocrites?" It seems as if they were looking for the truth, but in fact, they were hostile. Jesus asked them to show him a tax coin. They brought him a denarius. It was the value of a laborer's pay for one full day's labor. They had to show Jesus the coin. Jesus had pointed towards the image, illustration of Caesar on the coin, and asked them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They answered, "Caesar." On which Jesus had replied, "Therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Actually, give Caesar his due. But what is due to God, do not give that to Caesar, but give that to God." Jesus was aware of their plan to deliver him to Caesar. Now this is the crucial point. They did not want to pay one tax coin unnecessarily to Caesar, but they were prepared to hand Jesus to the Caesar to be crucified unlawfully. They were not prepared to honor Jesus as the Son of God, and therefore denied God the honor and glory that should be rendered to him for the way of salvation of sinners through the work of Jesus Christ. They acknowledge him as teacher of the way of God, as trustful and not influenced by people's appearances, but still they were prepared to hand him to Caesar. Let them hand to Caesar what he should receive, but do not hand Jesus to Caesar as if he is an offender, because Jesus is from God. Render to God what is his. Acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God. The coin has the image, the likeness of Caesar on it, which they recognize. Jesus is the likeness, the image of God, but they did not want to recognize the image of the Father in Jesus. How should we understand Jesus as the one we have to render to God? His life was a ransom for those who placed their faith in him and who accept him as their sacrifice to God. Mark 10 verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Christ was arrested in an unlawful way. Acts 2 verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. The resurrected Christ ascended into heaven to be with his Father for our benefit. Acts 2 verse 24, God raised him up, losing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, my tongue rejoiced, my flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to hate, or left your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Also Acts 2 verse 56, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this is Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he will witness and continue to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Brothers and sisters, we see Jesus on the ways of his humiliation. Although he was from God, he bowed his head under Caesar. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. By his obedience, he rendered himself to God. By holding through faith unto Jesus Christ, we may also render ourselves to God. We may live reconciled with God as a living sacrifice. We are a holy nation for him in a specific time and situation. Our situation has an influence on us. We have different tasks. We are involved in different spheres of life. We need not place our obligations towards everyday life on a lower level than our worship service, in our service to God. We have to be busy with the things of every day, because also these things are from God our Father. And because it is from God, it has value for God. God's authority spans our whole life. Our whole life is under the control and providence of God. The question is, how are we busy with our daily schedule? Does God receive the honor and glory and praise that we should render to Him? The image of God in our Lord Jesus Christ is clear. Our Lord is the likeness of God, the image of God. When we look at Jesus, we look at God's loving kindness towards us. Let us not render our Lord life to all the things that keep us so busy outside our honor to God for the life and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us do all things from the point of being faithful to Christ and keep our eyes on Him, follow Him, and so rendering to God what is His. Let us render ourselves and all aspects of our life to God. Let us work from our faith in the risen Lord and His presence in our life in all the things that keep us occupied. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Thus, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and not to Caesar the things that are God's, but render to God the things that are God's. Then render your faith in Christ to God, your gratefulness for Jesus Christ, your Lord. When we neglect our doing righteousness to God, when we neglect our faith in Christ and replace it with worship to the world or to our sinful heart, to Satan, by living a dualistic worldview, and limit our worship of God to a compartment of our lives, then we are not rendering to God what He should have. We are not better than the Pharisees and the Herodians. Brothers and sisters, we know the teaching of our Lord, that He is our Savior. He is the only way to God. He is our Lord and King in heaven. We should not be like these opponents of our Lord, being amazed in Him, but then not being reconciled with Him. Let us be reconciled with Christ, our only Savior. Let us live towards Him through faith. Amen. Let us pray together. Merciful Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Father in heaven, we thank you that the word of your Spirit was proclaimed to us. Grant that we may live in and through our Lord, rooted in Him and built up by Him, established in our faith. Grant that we may render ourselves as living sacrifices to you, not boasting by ourselves, but boasting in Christ. We want to commit ourselves to you because of the redemptive work of Christ in our lives, who rendered Himself to you and who redeemed us from sin. We pray for Mukanyo Theological College, for the instruction that is giving here, that the instruction in your word to faithful brothers would expand the gospel when they go and teach your word also to others. We thank you for Dr. John Carson, the work that he has done in our midst the past month. We ask you to be with him, returning to his home. We ask that you will be with his wife, who have trouble with her eye, that you will also heal her. We thank you for the recovery of Joel from illness. We thank you also for my recovery. Father, we request that you will be with Dr. De Vries in the United States, where he is teaching, but also to gather funds for the building expansion. We ask that you will bless him with that work. We ask that you will give us a favorable answer from the CHE so that we may teach your word in all the programs. We ask you for travel mercies for all our students that will go home this week, and also with their families. Will you be with every student in their studies, and will you bless them? We thank you that we may ask all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.